Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 3 this morning. Acts chapter 3. I want to take time to just rejoice in what God did last week through our Thanksgiving offering. We wanted to put a roof on Colton and Lydia Tucker's home, and come to find out the exact price we needed was $9,245. They don't know the exact until they figure out all the slats. But they came out on Monday and Tuesday and completed the roof, and that was the total price. We were just trusting God. And we did have someone that said, hey, if you're short, I'll fill in the rest. So we knew it was going to be done. So God's good. But then all of us were blown away with the total of last week's offering, $11,175. Can we praise the Lord this morning? Amen. So what we were able to do is ask Colton and Lydia, hey, do you have any other needs at your home? And they said, we got a 20-year-old refrigerator that half works, and we got a stove that one burner only works on high. The digital display does not work anymore. I said, I think y'all need a refrigerator and a stove. Amen? And so we're able to do a refrigerator, a stove, and a brand new roof. And that we give all glory to God. Thank you for your generosity. And it's just amazing. Here is a note. They are coming back from Michigan. They spent Thanksgiving up in Michigan with Colton's family, and he wanted me to read this morning. We are so overwhelmed by the generosity of this church. We can't thank you enough for how greatly you blessed us with this Thanksgiving offering. From the bottom of our hearts, we want to say thank you. God has been so good to us, and we're so glad to be part of such an amazing church. We love you all, the Tuckers. All right? Let's pray they get back home safely today. And, of course, they'll be back on Wednesday night with our teenagers. And I just want to praise the Lord for what he did on Sunday. Well, I'm still in that kind of Thanksgiving mode since this is Thanksgiving weekend. The next three Sundays I'll be preaching on Christmas. But today the Lord took me to Acts chapter 3. Is everybody there? I want to make sure you follow along in your Bible. Let's talk about lame. L-A-M-E. That word in our English language can mean a lot of things. A lame excuse for being late. Has anyone ever gave you a lame excuse for being late? You know what that word means in that context? It's weak. It's inadequate. It's unsatisfactory. It was a lame excuse. All right, another way it can be used, it could also refer to something that's awkward, dull, stupid, or uninteresting. Like, how about this? Have you ever said this? That party was lame, so we left early. You ever been in a party that was lame? Oh, none of you. Okay, good. Well, you never had to leave a lame party. Well, that's good. Or you hear someone say, he's so lame. What does that mean? They're most likely referring to a person who's kind of out of touch, unsophisticated, odd, or weird. Have you ever met a lame person? It's kind of you walk away and you're like, man, that guy's crazy. All right? And you could use that word. Well, the story in Acts chapter 3 starts with a baby who, when he is born, suddenly his parents see that his legs are not right. The defect became more apparent, of course, and evident as the months passed. He could not stand. He never learned to walk. Think what it meant to that boy. He could never run. He could never play games with his friends or play sports, whatever they played back then. And he had to be carried everywhere. There had never been a day in this man's life where he was not a burden to somebody. He could not walk, so he could not work. All he could do was sit there, beg, and hope that his plight in life would produce some pity from the people that passed him every day. Let's read about this story. Look in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, 3 o'clock prayer service. And a certain man lame, there's our word, that means physically disabled, crippled from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms. What's that? Beg money. Of them that entered into the temple. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, of course, what's he going to do? He's going to ask for alms. He's going to ask for money. Now, Peter and John were both great ambassadors of Jesus. They were recognized as apostles. Calvary had brought these two men into a closer relationship. By nature and temperament, they were very different. I'm talking about Peter and John. They were like opposites. They used to get on each other's nerves. But now, they're walking together. They're serving the Lord together. You know what that is, y'all? It's the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Remember, the Spirit had just arrived in Acts chapter 2. And so now these guys are working together. They're getting along great because that's what the Spirit does. He brings people all together of different backgrounds, and he brings us together to serve him. That's what these two men were doing. And Acts 2:43 tells us many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. We're going to see an example of that right here. Apparently, Peter and John were going at the hour of prayer to the temple. Following that, the afternoon sacrifice, they realized that the sacrificial system was fulfilled through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus when he offered his life on the cross. Perhaps this time of day had a special significance to them. Do you all remember what time it was when Jesus uttered those last words? It is finished. It was the 9th hour, 3:00. And so I believe that's why Peter and John were going to the temple, to remember what they saw that day, what they heard. Well, the moment when the sin bearer bowed his head and died, that was that time. Now, in the early church, I'm telling you, prayer was a consistent practice. It was as natural as breathing. It was as natural as working. And I tell you, that's what prayer needs to be for us. But for any rate, they were going there for a prayer service. Okay? They run across this lame man. This lame man simply wanted to be supported in the condition that he was in. He felt he had no other option. Now, he had good reason to believe that, hey, his needs were going to be met. Begging at this beautiful gate of the temple could support him. There was and still is a strong tradition of giving of money to those in need. In Judaism, it's kind of an act of righteousness if you try to help somebody out. Well, it was certainly better for him to be supported than for him to starve to death. Are we in agreement there? Right? So, but God had something better in mind. God wanted to do more than just get this guy some money. He wanted to change his condition completely. So we see him lame. That's the first step. Peter and John going through the temple, seeing this lame man. We see him lame. Number two, we see him looking. Look at verse 4. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, in other words, they looked at the lame man very intently. And they said, look on us. Look at us. And he gave heed unto them. In other words, the man looked at them intently. He did exactly what they wanted him to do, expecting to receive something of them. What do y'all think he was expecting to receive? Some cold cash or some coins, right? Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Man, I don't have that for you. Uh-oh. But such as I have, give I unto thee. I'm going to give you what I have. And then he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up, get up, and walk. Wow. Now this man must have been happy. He must have been encouraged when Peter and John looked at him intently. How many of you, when you pass a beggar, you don't try to make eye contact? A lot of times that's the way it is. So when Peter and John looked at him intently, it got his attention. So he looked back at him. Now, these two men, of course, Peter and John, they've rose to fame in Jerusalem recently. They were the leaders of the revival. They were the talk of the town. Pentecost had just taken place. Thousands had come to Christ since Peter got up and preached on the day of Pentecost. But Peter and John noticed him. Most people, when they looked at the man so intently, he probably thought, "Woo, I got a big gift coming. Man, he's getting ready." He probably got his cup out, or at least his hand, and said, "All right, give me. My name's Jimmy, all right?" He thought, "Woo, I'm going to get a big gift because they're noticing me." Now, the lame man looked at them. He was correct in expecting to receive something from them, but he received much more than money. By the way, money was all he expected, but praise God, he got so much more. Number three, we see him listening. Peter didn't have any money, but he did have authority from Jesus to heal the sick. Peter said, "I'll give you what I have." Now, for some people, for you to say to them, "I don't have any money for you," oh boy. Can you imagine his countenance right away saying, "Oh, man." You could hear that lame man complain, "You don't care about me. You won't support me. Hey, look at the mess I'm in." But Peter and John wanted something greater in supporting this man in his condition. They wanted to transform his life by the power of the risen Savior, Jesus. Now, we're not only to meet somebody's physical needs. We do that a lot around here. Someone has a need, we try to meet that need. But I tell you, we also ought to try to meet their spiritual needs by introducing them to our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's everybody's responsibility in this church. Yes, try to help somebody out, but also try to help them spiritually. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up or get up and walk. What Peter did was he redirected the man's look away from himself and onto Jesus. Offered him that new life that comes in Christ. How many of you have experienced that new life in Jesus Christ? The moment you got saved, you've experienced that new life. So we see the lame man listening. Nobody had ever talked to him that way before. He had heard people talk about Jesus. But Peter asked him to put his faith in Jesus. And to help him, Peter held out his hand. So we see him lame. We see him looking. We see him listening. Number four, we see him leaping. Look at verse 7. "And he," Peter, "took him," the lame man, "by the right hand, lifted," or helped him up. "And immediately," do we serve a mighty God or what? Amen? "Immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength." Man, he was instantly healed and strengthened. "And he, leaping up, stood." In other words, man, he jumped up, stood on his feet. "And then walked." He began to walk around. "Entered into the temple." Say it with me. Ready? "Walking and leaping." We'll stop right there. Now, it's one thing to say rise up and walk, but it's so much of a greater thing to so boldly take the man's hand and lift him up to his feet. This wasn't something Peter did on a whim. This wasn't a promotional event. Peter did this under the specific prompting of the Holy Spirit. Strength did not come to that lame man until Peter said, "Rise up and walk." Strength did not come to the lame man until Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Now, as soon as he was healed, that formerly lame man did three things. Number one, he attached himself to the apostles. The Word of God says he entered into the temple with them. Secondly, he immediately started to use what God had blessed him with. He not only started walking, y'all, he started leaping. I'm sure there was some hopping. Are you with me? How about some skipping? And he was doing all of this. He was happy, man. And then finally, he began to praise and worship God. Now notice he praises God and not Peter. He realizes this gift of healing in his life is from Almighty God. Let's keep reading verse 8. Number 5, we see him laughing. I had to use an L, y'all. Can y'all excuse me for that? The Bible says praising. But how many of y'all ever laugh when you're praising God? You're just overwhelmed with the goodness of God. And you start a little giggle. Hey, that's the way it ought to be. And so we see him laughing. Let's start in verse 8, the second part. And praising God. And all the people saw him walking. Woo, that's enough in itself right there. When people started to look at him intently and say, wait a minute, isn't that the lame man that was at the gate? He's been there for years. And now he's walking. And he's also praising God. They knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder. They were filled with amazement at that which had happened unto him. I'm telling you, people were absolutely astounded by seeing this man. Well, I'm sure there was laughter in his voice. You know what? I think we ought to follow his example. Has God been good to us this year in 2024 as a church body? Has he been good to your family? I hope you reflected on his goodness on Thursday as you enjoyed a big old meal with your family. He's been so good. Let's follow the lame man's example. Let's come to church faithfully. Let's have a spring in our step, a smile on our face, and some joy in our heart. Excited to be here. And when you arrive, let's praise and worship Jesus. Don't praise and worship each other. No sense in that. That won't do you no good. Direct all of your praise to Jesus Christ. He is worthy. Now, this man was more than 40 years old. That's according to Acts 4:22. He had been crippled since birth. He was at such a familiar sight at the temple. He was there every day. Have you ever thought about this? Jesus must have passed by him many times without healing him. Do y'all believe with me that God's timing is just as important as his will? It was God's will for this man to be healed, but it wasn't while Jesus was walking on the earth. You know what Jesus' plan for this man was? It was for the greater glory of God that Jesus heal this man from heaven through Peter. And God got the glory for that. That was his plan. How many believe God's in charge? He's going to do things his way in his time. That's an exciting part of this story. Because how many times did Jesus pass by him? Didn't heal him. Well, the lame man, hope you're listening right now. The lame man is a picture of the human race. Listen, people are born lame. No standing before God. Because we are dead in trespasses and sin. Are you with me, church? You get it? They stumble and fall through life, just like us before we got saved. They have nothing spiritually. They're bankrupt. The very best person in the world outside of Jesus is a hopeless spiritual cripple. Born that way. Hey, even the wealthiest man financially is a spiritual beggar. Wow. Many lay at the gorgeous gate of a dead religion. In a church that can do nothing for them because maybe the church they attend, does not preach the gospel. Hey, if a church does not preach the gospel, it's doing them no good by sitting in that church. They're just part of a dead religion. They're striving through religion. How many have tried that? How many did that before you came to Jesus? You were striving. Boy, I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying to please God through my own works. But then finally you realize somebody taught you the word of God. And then you realize, oh, it's not by works of righteousness which I have done. but it's through His mercy that He saves me.
Woo!
Then you realize, oh, it's not about what I can do. It's about what He's already done for me. And I just place my faith and trust in Him. But there are a lot today in a dead religion. They're in a church that doesn't preach the gospel. They're striving through religion, trying harder to get better. But they are missing out on a relationship with Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John. He's holding tightly to him, okay? Or to them. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Man, they all rushed out there in amazement, didn't they? And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Hey, what's so surprising about this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or by our own holiness we had made this man to walk? In other words, Peter's telling them, why are you staring at us, though it was us who made this man walk by our own power or by our own godliness? Peter just told them straight, hey, it's not us, it's Him. He's healed because of the power of God. Now, the evidence of this transformed man walking away from his past drew a crowd. They came running. Did you know there is nothing like a changed life to draw a crowd? Do you realize we've had a lot of changed lives here recently in our church? Amen? And I'm telling you, people are seeing a difference in the ones who have gotten saved recently. And I think a lot of people are saying, you know what? I need that in my life. I see a difference in the way they're walking. Are you with me? They're not only walking, they're leaping for joy because they have a relationship with Jesus. When people are going to notice when they see a change in our lives. Now, since he could walk, the lame man was not holding tightly to them for support. He didn't need to hold them on to him for support. Maybe he was just holding on to him out of gratitude. Maybe he was just holding on to him because, woo, this crowd started coming, so maybe he was a little afraid, a little frightened. Maybe he was surprised that crowd had gathered so quickly. Peter wisely took advantage of the gathering crowd. Hey, what's a preacher do when a crowd gathers? Yeah, man. Most of them do. You're right, brother. But Peter had a better idea. He didn't take an offering. That's what Wes said. He didn't start selling prayer cloths. Hey, a lot of preachers are looking to make a buck, aren't they? Not only take an offering, but sell prayer cloths. By the way, he didn't lead a testimony meeting. And he said, wait a minute. The lame man's right there. That's a good time to have a testimony meeting. Now, here's what he did. That would have certainly been a great experience. But here's what Peter realized. Do you realize this morning? He knew the miracle in itself brought no one to Jesus. Just by people seeing that the lame man can now leap for joy, did that bring them to Jesus? No. They needed something more. You know what it did? It merely aroused their interest. Woo, boy, got their attention, right? They were greatly amazed, but they weren't saved yet. You know what they needed to hear? Faith cometh by, and hearing by the, woo, they needed to hear the word. They needed to hear the gospel. And so Peter didn't take an offering, didn't start selling prayer cloths. You know what? He was the one anointed by God to preach the gospel. That's what the crowd needed to hear. And that's what this world outside these walls, that's what they need to hear. Here it is, that Jesus came to this earth. Can I hear an amen? That's what we're celebrating Christmas for. Why did he come to this earth? Because he had to die on the cross for our sins. Then he was buried, and then he rose again the third day, victorious over sin, death, and the grave. And now he lives forevermore. How many believe that? Tell somebody. That's our job. That's what they need to hear. They don't just need our money. They need eternal life through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Tell them the gospel. Now, the healed man, he'd just gotten saved. He had just gotten healed physically. Maybe he didn't know the lingo or the words to say, but buddy, Peter did. So Peter takes over this service, and he preaches to them. He did all the talking. You know what he simply urged them to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Say it with me, and thou shalt be saved. Saving faith does not come by hearing or seeing a miracle. It comes by hearing and seeing the Word of God. Now, Peter denied that the healing was due to either his power or his holiness or his godliness. He wanted to make sure it was clear that it's not me doing this. Although God used me as an instrument, it was the power of God that healed this man. It was all of Jesus and nothing of me. Why do you marvel at this? Peter's point was simple. And I want to close with this. Jesus healed all sorts of people when he walked on this earth, right? So why should it seem strange when he continues to heal people from heaven? Is our God mighty to do that, right? So the power to heal this lame man was the Holy Spirit working through Peter. When God heals, it's through his mighty power. When Jesus saves, it's through his mighty power. How many believe there is no power shortage with God? Remember that storm we had recently? My power was out 30 hours. It was not a pleasant experience. Some much longer. And I'm not even, I feel so bad for the ones down in North Carolina and Tennessee in that area. But I'm just saying, we didn't hardly get any of the storm. And we had 30 hours without power. I'm just here to say, aren't you glad there's no power shortages with Almighty God? I got two verses for you. I want you to say them with me. Can we do it together? Get the verses up there, boys. Here's Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Ready? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power. Is it our power? Let's finish it. Ready? According to the power that worketh in us. How many were blown away by that offering last Sunday? God did exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Wow. It's his power that heals people. It's his power that saves a soul. It's his power that allows us to do great things in this church when we unite together as the body of Christ. Let's give him credit. I got one more for you. Ready? Ephesians 6:10. Say it with me. Ready? Finally, my brethren, I'll say sister in two, amen. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Do y'all realize the same power that healed that man, the same power that saved your soul lives inside of you? Woo! Man, that ought to encourage us today. We can live and be strong in the power of his might. You know, there is nothing like a transformed life to get people's attention. Never be afraid to use your own personal testimony as a witnessing tool. And I was talking to Myron before the service. You know what Myron does everywhere he goes? He shares Jesus. And I wish every one of us would do that. Now he'll start shooting the breeze, talk about the weather, talk about whatever. But then eventually the conversation comes to, hey, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Let me tell you what he did for me. Sharing your personal testimony can make such an impact. Talking about your church, not talking down about it. Can I hear an amen? But talking it up and saying, hey, come to church with me. Hey, that's what's happened in our teen group. Come to church with me on Wednesday night. Meet this crazy youth pastor that I have that loves Jesus and he preaches the Word of God. And look what has happened. Guys, we just need to do that more often. Share our personal testimony. Invite people to church and then leave the rest in God's hands. Because the miracle of salvation is intended to provide astonishment. That is the greatest miracle of all, is the salvation of a lost soul. Are we in agreement there? That's better than being healed physically. You're healed spiritually, and it lasts for eternity. And it can't be taken away. Boy, that sounds good to me. That's what salvation is all about. So this week, I want to encourage you, as we're getting into this Christmas season, prime time to tell others about Jesus. Share your story about how Jesus has changed your life. And the more you dwell on it, you're going to go from lame to leaping. We need a little bit more leaping around here. I'm just saying, the joy of the Lord in our hearts. A spring in your step. And just let people know that God has done such a wonderful work in my life. And it's all because of the sacrifice that Jesus made on that cross that I can live. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Tell your story. Tell folks how Jesus has changed your life. Boy, it will make an impact in those around us. I wonder, are you thankful this morning? Are you grateful that Jesus left the glories of heaven to be our Savior? I wonder if you're here today and you say, Preacher Wayne, I'll be honest with you, I'm not ready to meet Jesus. I've never placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Nobody's looking, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. But if that's you, you'd say, Preacher, I'm concerned about it. I don't know 100% sure I'm saved. Would you please pray for me? Would you raise your hand? Nobody's looking except me. Anybody? We want to give you an opportunity. Anybody? All right. I want to encourage you, if God is dealing with your heart, respond to Him. Trust Him by faith. Don't take His conviction, His knocking on your heart for granted. Respond to the voice of God. Hey, you can meet with us after church anytime during the week. Call me. Preacher, I need to talk to you about my salvation. We are concerned for you. I'll take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. Is that you today? Anybody? Just raise your hand, put it right back down. We want to pray for you. Anybody? All right? Well, based on your testimony this morning, you'd say, I'm saved. I just want to encourage you. Let's leap for joy. Let's be happy in the Lord. Let's be thankful and grateful, not just on Thanksgiving weekend, but every day that we live our lives. Let's give Him credit. Let's share our gratitude with Him. Lord Jesus, thank You for this story in the Word of God that is so powerful. It astonished everyone that was in the midst, at the temple that day, to see that old lame man up and walking. Seeing the joy on his face. And Lord, I pray that our church would be a beacon of light to this community. People would see the joy of the Lord in our hearts and on our faces. We would make an impact to those around us. Help us to stand for You. Help us to share our personal testimony. Help us to invite people to church. Lord, bring our friends, our relatives, our neighbors, our work associates to Jesus. We'd be most grateful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.